Blog Talk Radio.
Should be live with us, and I think we have John McCormick live with us.
This is Edward X. Young. Can you hear me?
Yes, and this is John McCormick. How are you?
Hi, Ed. Hi, John.
Let me quickly identify everybody who's with us. This is Edward X. Young. I am the amazing Grindhouse star of over 70 independent films made in the past 10 years. But I bow to John Link, who is the Grindhouse superstar, who's had been working for about 10 years longer than me, but Currently, we have a wonderful team here. We have Cameron Scott, who's our producer, who's a producer and director and actor, but mostly a producer, director, and the best damn screenwriter I know. The creator of Postmortem America. Creator of Postmortem America, 2012. And also, the cinematographer of my short, which I hope will win an award at the next Macabre Fair Film Festival, Two Guys in One Box, which was directed by me, starring me and John Link, and written by John McCormick, who's with us here, who's also an actor in horror films, and of course, Cameron Scott, was the cinematographer and editor.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also be an actor in a big part.
Yeah, I was going to say, so far end up on the cutting room floor, but I put myself there.
Well, that's your decision, and I respect that. That shows what kind of an artist you are. You're art above the ego.
And we might want to add that we had to adhere to a strict 10 to 10 and a half minute running time, so when I knew we had to go, some footage had to go, sometimes you got to make that decision.
You
got to put yourself...
But Cameron, do you think an egomaniacal Scientologist, no talent jerk off like Will Smith would have made that choice?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. No, no.
Cut himself out of the picture if his character wasn't necessary. Of course not.
Well, if he would have done that, then, the movie I Am Legend would have been 7.5 minutes long. Anyways,
I saw one time where the movie, The Last Samurai, Tom Cruise's love fest to himself.
Yeah.
I think he was in just about every frame of that movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
His performance in Valkyrie drives me crazy, playing a Prussian aristocrat, Stauffenberg, and making the decision for his good looks in Hollywood to invent that Stauffenberg had a glass eye and a fake hand. No, he didn't. Probably betrayed the stump that was left of his right hand, and he wore an eye patch. But Cruise wanted his pretty face to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in addition to missing an eye, Stauffenberg's face was badly scarred. I mean, and his good hand, he only had two fingers and a thumb. I mean, this guy was a mutilated mess, but Tom Cruise plays him as a pretty boy with just rewriting history and doing it with a swag yank. I mean, there was nothing German or aristocratically Prussian about this Scientologist jerk off.
To be fair, I don't know if something like that would be entirely Tom Cruise's decision to neglect to put scars all over the guy's face and have him play it one handed and such.
I know that Polanski fought. We're going back 31 years ago.
Oh, well, you're talking about Chinatown there.
41 years ago. Am I that old? 41 years, but 41 years since Chinatown, my favorite movie. But Polanski angrily fought the studios to have Jack Nicholson go through half that movie with a bandage over his nose.
Uh-huh. Right.
He didn't drop, and he insisted on it.
There was also an issue in the Blues Brothers where they wore sunglasses through the entire movie.
Then again, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi were never ever pretty boys. So, I think.
but compared to me, they were.
Are you pulling my leg? Or was that really an issue? The Ray-Ban sunglasses.
People mentioned it. That it was odd. It wasn't an issue with them. The characters. Everyone was familiar with the characters, but it was mentioned a few times in reviews and such that they go through the entire movie wearing sunglasses.
It generated a surge in the purchase of classic Ray-Bans. It was a boon for the Ray-Ban company.
Mm.
I I went out and bought my first actual pair of Ray-Bans after the Blues Brothers movie.
You know, and to be honest, that's the only pair of sunglasses I've ever owned was the stock kind of Blues Brothers style Ray-Bans. I've never owned anything else.
I've got a pair laying around someplace, but they have, like, blue mirrored lenses. They're pretty cool.
The ones I have marijuana leaves all over the frames.
Oh, well.
That must be the special 420 edition.
So let's get
edition.
Back to our topic now.
Yes.
The upcoming Chiller Show. Cameron, can you rattle off the guests?
Yes. Hold on. Actually, my page went down. Hold on a second. Yeah, give me one moment here. But I know they have we have Scott Wilson of The Walking Dead is going to be there, and Margaret. Let's see. We got William Catt from The Great American Hero. Let's see. We got John Snyder from. Well, let's see, he was
Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard
and
Smallville.
And Smallville.
Yeah, Smallville. They actually are doing a 40-year anniversary of Land of the Lost with, let's see, who they got, Philip Paley, Kathy Coleman, Wesley, cannot pronounce his last name, Yuri, I think is his last name. I'm pretty excited. I would be, if I was going to be going to the show, this is who I would want to meet. They got Dick Miller is going to be there.
From the Corman Pictures.
Yeah, he was from the Corman Pictures. He was in The Terminator. He was in Tales from the Crypt. Let's see, they got Terry Kaiser from the Friday the 13th Part 7, Night Court, Weekend at Bernie's. They got several cast members from, American Horror Story. They got Sons of Anarchy. They got Don Most and Anson Williams from Happy Days. They got a Time Tunnel. They actually have a Time Tunnel movie reunion, which looks pretty cool. Robert Colbert, Lee Merriweather, James Darren. They got
that
a couple cast members from Z Nation. They actually have real-life Dickie Eklund, the boxing legend that the movie The Fighter was based on. Let's see. They got they got a reunion of Jesus Christ Superstar. They have Ken Kurtzinger, who is Jason Voorhees and Freddy vs. Jason. They got Abe. This one, a throwback to my childhood, a Mighty Ducks reunion. They got
Yvonne Elliman will be there. She's one of the cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. She was very nice when I met her last time.
And also a disco queen. And
they also got a couple of girls from Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. They also got a couple girls from Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Marcia McBroom, Dolly Reed. They also got the Maria Robot from
They got Dolly Reed? I gotta dig up my old Playboy. I got the Playboy she was in from back in the 60s, like 64 or 65.
Says here she was Playboy Playmate in May of 66.
I have that buried away somewhere. I got to find it. I have that one. You know, and she was Dick Martin's wife of Ronan Martin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then we can't forget they're also going to have one of my personal favorite actors, Michael Parks, is going to be there.
Oh, okay.
A very successful Hollywood marriage. I mean, surprisingly, a British playmate of the month, but she married Dick Martin. They were married for many years, like 40 years or something.
And also Louise Lasser from Mary Hartman.
And Bananas.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Her first convention.
We also should mention that they're going to have Ron Jeremy.
What's interesting is that I would like to see Ron Jeremy and John Link go into the men's room and compare, because I think John Link is bigger.
Well, who ain't? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody.
And Rip Torn. You forgot about Rip fucking Torn.
There's still 40 or 50 more that I haven't. I mean, we got Larry
Rattle all off. Rattle them all off.
We got Tia Carrera from Wayne's World, True Lies. She's going to be there. We got Denise Crosby from Star Trek Next Generation, Walking Dead, Pet Sematary.
We have
Barry Kane.
I was in
Barry
a movie.
Somewhere buried in my basement, I also have the Playboy with the nude spread from Denise Crosby. She wasn't a Playmate of the Month, but she did a nude spread in there. I think around somewhere in the early 80s.
It was in the late 80s. It was while she was on the show. She left the show not long afterwards. It would have been roughly about 88 or 89.
Tragically, I really don't have the time with my busy schedule before Chiller, with so little time left, to actually go in the basement and dig through my boxes and find these particular Playboy issues.
Well, you know what they say, don't go in the basement.
John,
let's see. There's we got a whole bunch of screen queens. Darian Kane will be there. Deanna Damko will be there. Michelle Bauer, Brink Stevens, Rain Brown.
John Link has
Deanna Damko.
Deanna. Dozen movies with Darian Kane.
Yep,
how about,
she's gonna be there.
How about
Debbie
D?
We got a couple of wrestling.
Yeah, Debbie D. Will Debbie
also
be
got
there?
I didn't see her
on the list. Debbie D.
Nope, nowhere in the list.
No.
Oh, shame.
Not that I see. We do got a couple wrestling legends are going to be there. Jake the Snake Roberts, Terry Funk, Tito Santana, Bubba Ray Dudley, the Nasty Boys.
Terry
Andrew
Funk,
Anderson.
The co-star of Paradise Alley.
And the reinforcer, Andrew Anderson, who lives in the town where I live.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of, there's a whole slew of more people. There's bands, the Dead Elvi,
Andrew the
Road.
Andrew the Reinforcer Anderson is actually very good friends with Tito Santana, who actually lives in the same county as John Link. And just to let you know, Cameron, Tito and I have gotten to be pretty good friends. He's eager to work in a movie I'm in. I don't know what he costs, but I have his personal contact information. He says he'd like to work with me. If you're interested in having Tito Santana in one of your future movies, we'll talk.
Yeah, we should definitely talk. I'm an old school wrestling fan. I'm not really a fan much of a modern day wrestling, but a lot of these old school guys like Terry and Jake and Tito, I saw them wrestle when I was, you know, in the 80s during the heyday.
Oh God,
the
heyday.
Well,
I go back to the heyday, man, with Gorilla Monsoon and Bruno Sammartino.
I
remember that.
Yep.
Haystack Calhoun. He was
in the early 50s.
Early to mid 60s.
I used to watch that with my father.
John, you go back to Gorgeous George. Don't you go back to the first Olympics in Greece and the wrestlers there?
Jumped on my part. That's what I was going to suggest. John Link probably remembers seeing Gorgeous George.
No, John Link goes back to the wrestling matches at the Roman Coliseum.
those were the days when they wrestled unto the death.
You know what movie I think is really underrated and I like a lot is the flick Hard Times with Charles Bronson and James Coburn. It was Walter Hill's first feature. Strother Martin is in it too. Yes, Strother Martin and Jill Ireland. It's about a cage fighter down in Depression era New Orleans. It's a very atmospheric. I recommend it highly. And as I said, it was Walter Hill's first feature.
Didn't Walter Hill direct that?
As I just said twice, it was Walter Hill's first feature.
Yeah. Was 1975?
75, so, Ed, you're going to be at the Chiller, and John, you're going to be there as well, correct?
I hope so.
Let me explain. I'm tomorrow night, which is the opening night of Chiller, Friday, April 24th, just throwing a plug in here. I can't be at Chiller tomorrow because I'm performing at, and I have a friend hotel room set up for me right now. He's already at Chiller, but I said I can't show up till Saturday. I'm performing tomorrow with David Peel and the Lower East Side Band at the Bright Bar on 121 Brighton Avenue in Long Branch, New Jersey. There's four bands. We're the headliners. We go on at 11 p.m. The bands start playing at 8. One of the opening bands is the greatest punk rock band to ever originate out of the Jersey Shore, the Toms River band called The Beach Needle. Front man is Pat Vale. And he has their greatest song is the song Toms River. It slams the whole Jersey Shore. But anyhow, I will be in Chiller Saturday and Sunday screening two of my movies there. They're screening about the award-winning film Faces, a great film by Tom Ryan, which won a lot of awards, and I play the ill-fated shipping magnate Henry Benson. I won't say any. But also, and Mike Scardillo of the City of the Dead series, fantastic makeup effects, great gore, but also and Ryan Scott Webb, a TV series. Horror comedy, zombies.
Somebody is breathing their lips.
Ed, is there something wrong with your phone or something, Ed?
My phone's got a problem?
I'm not hearing you real well while you're talking.
You're cutting in and out a little bit, Ed.
Am I doing that right now?
No.
Okay, sorry. I'm glad you told me. I'll give that plug again. Let me know if I cut out. I have to switch phones.
No, we heard it fine. You were just cutting in and out. Matter of fact, it's time for my plug, my band, Street Pizza.
But before you make your plug, I want to say this.
No.
John Link, get your fucking ass to Chiller tomorrow. You're needed there. We're shooting a film with James Balsamo. Get your ass to Chiller. There's a room waiting for you. Mm. Get there. John McCormick, your plug.
Oh, okay. No, just quickly, you reminded me. My band, Street Pizza, will be playing at the fabulous Idle Hour Bar on Route 88 in Point Pleasant this coming Wednesday, the 29th, at 7:30 p.m. So if you're in the neighborhood, come on in and have a great time. That's all.
John's the front man.
Mm.
Oh, but, and also, everybody knows, Cameron will probably get back to the guests, and maybe you got some plugs too, Cameron, but I wanted to say that Chiller Theater is the Chiller Convention.
Ed, you're doing it again.
Whatever you're doing, stop.
All right, how about now?
Not now.
I wonder if I finally got to get a new phone. But I was going to say, because my phone, I've dropped it too many times. But I wanted to say that, let me know if I go in and out again, because I'll have to get a new phone then. But anyhow, Chiller, one of their big high points is of Kevin Clemens' Chiller Theater Convention. There's a huge rock and roll party on Saturday night. I'll have Cameron read off some of the musical guests, but I'm very excited that for the first time at a convention ever, a horror convention, Kevin brings a lot of the classic punk rockers in. We have Sylvain Sylvain of the New York Dolls. and also of his other bands included the Roman Sandals, the Ugly Americans, but Sylvain's a friend of mine, and he lives in California now. I haven't seen him in a little while. I haven't seen him in about maybe a year and a half. He seldom gets out here, so this is great. We got Sylvain Sylvain performing, and I know with my friend Harley Fine, a great friend of mine, and a good friend of Susie Palermo's, too. They used to play together in the same band. Harley Fine is performing with the closing band, Pat Horgan and the 10-Ton Truckers, and he's always terrific, but maybe, Cameron, you could rattle off some of the other music guests at Kevin's.
Yeah, they got Gary DiCarlo is going to be there, Ingrid and the Defectors performing Saturday night only. Most of these are Saturday night only. The Greg Woods Band, Pat Horgan and Thunder Road, the Accelerators. They also have The Test, Dead Elvi, Simon Kirk, and Sylvain Sylvain of the New York Dolls, and that's all I see under the musical guests. There's also some there's a bunch of artists. We got Basil Golgos is going to be there. Actually, my good friend Joel Robinson is going to be there. He's a great artist. Marcus Boaz, artist of Castle of Frankenstein, is going to be there. Ed Rutka, who I know has done a bunch of like heavy metal album covers. He's done a lot for like Quiet Riot, Iron Maiden, and whatnot.
Great.
But, yeah. You know, there's more wrestlers are going to be there. Velvet Sky, Brian Knobs, Tori Wilson. Let me see. Boxer Ray Mercer is going to be there, world champ.
Fought Larry Holmes.
Artists. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say, yeah, he fought against Larry Holmes.
Just Rain Brown will be there, too.
Yep, Rain Brown's going to be there. I think I mentioned her. I can't remember if I did. But
you skipped over a few of the Scream Queens, though.
There's a few more. Yeah, let's see what we got here. We got, well, Michelle Bauer, Brink Stevens, Christy Hill, Gianna Michaels, Gina Marie Zimmerman. One that I can't even pronounce. Angelina Piva something or other. I can't. She's from Jersey Shore, so I don't feel like she's worth mentioning. To be honest. Let's see. Robbie Morgan from Friday the 13th, Donna Spear, Brandi Roderick, Jim Warnorski, who actually I just met weekend before last at Cinema Wasteland, who did Chopping Mall, Night of the Surf, Deathstalker series. We got Fred Olin Ray, Larry Storch, Lee Meredith.
He's an old buddy of yours, Ed, Larry Storch.
I got Larry's personal phone number. I'll be thrilled to see Larry again.
He's 93, I heard.
Every time we go to New York, you suggest we stop by his house.
Well, like, we haven't been to New York in a while to do something about
I
that.
Know.
You never suggested that to me.
And also on display.
But John Link, whenever I meet you in New York, you live the life of a vampire. You show up at 11 o'clock at night. You can't go calling up 93-year-old Larry Storch at 11 p.m. and say, hey, stop by and discuss F Troop. He's a daytime kind of a guy. Anyhow, this should be a great fucking show. I wish. Cameron,
you,
I wish.
Guys. Did you guys notice that the Maria Robot from the infamous Metropolis film, the updated life-size Maria Robot, will be on display all weekend?
Yes, along with the daughter of the guy who sculpted it.
How much is the Chiller Convention? How much does it cost to go to it?
$30 per day.
$30 per day? Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's something people might want to know. And it's where in Parsippany?
The Sheraton Parsippany Hotel, which is, I believe, the address is 99 or 199 Smith Road. I'll describe. You're coming down Route 10. You pass by the Hilton where the Chiller used to be on Route 10. You go a mile or so, and you'll see a big sign for an exit to Smith Road. You take it. You turn left. You might take a loop to turn left, but you can't.
Well, the Sheraton Parsippany, that's $30. That's what people need to know. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I think if you went for the whole 3 days, it's $75. But the Sheraton, you can't miss this hotel because it looks like Dracula's castle. It's got a crenellated roof with turrets. So, I mean, it's designed like a castle, a perfect place for a monster movie convention.
Good.
And like I said, Cameron, you got to get to one of these Chiller conventions one of these days.
I know. It's been literally 12 years since I've been to one. I haven't been to one since 2003. This is hard
John,
for me to make it out to the coast.
John Zachary is still with us.
Yeah.
He's 96.
Yeah.
96. God bless him.
His birthday's in September, so God willing, he's with us at the next Chiller. He'll be 97 on Halloween. I'd love to see you out here, Cameron, maybe with some of your new movies, maybe even get a table. I think you got to see John Zachary again.
Ed, you know my dog Ducky. He turned 100 last month.
In dog years.
Yes. He's feeling kind of poorly. Well, knock wood is all I got to say.
let me know if my voice ever fritzes out on this again, because I know I need a new cell phone. In fact, it only operates on a speaker. I've dropped it so many times, it won't operate on a regular mode. But if this starts giving out, I'm just going to have to give it in and buy a new one, although I kind of will miss this old flip phone I've had for 15 years. But anyhow, everybody laughs at me because they got this relic, but I kind of like the relic. But I was going to say that, what was I going to say? I've totally forgotten what I was going to say.
Goodbye to everyone. It's for...
<Cha-na-na-na>.
Yes, it's 11:30.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, the show goes to 11:45.
We still got,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yep, still got it for another 15 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
How rad. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy that Scott Wilson's going to be there because we're pals.
Mm.
Long before I was acting, before Scott Wilson got publicly famous again, I mean, he's a well-respected actor. His career goes back like 50 years. I mean, he played
In Cold Blood.
You know, a Richard Hitchcock, I believe, with the character.
Yes.
Richard Hitchcock and Perry Smith were the real Clutter family murderers.
Robert Blake.
Yeah, Robert and Scott Wilson were the two killers in that movie. And
Hitchcock and Smith, yes.
Scott wasn't too well known, but when I was living in New Hampshire some 12 years ago or so, and I was up there, I was in a town of 5,000 people, Peterborough, Thornton Wilder's our town, and this movie crew comes to town to shoot an art film, and David Strathairn is in it, and Joan Cusack, who was at our last Chiller convention, who we're friends now.
Wasn't Paul Newman in that one, too?
That's right, but Scott Wilson was there, and a lot of the younger people in town, they recognize, and also Jane Addams, but I mean, they recognize, you know, Joan Cusack, and Strathairn was riding high on his Good Night and Good Luck movie, which was in theaters at precisely the same time, even showing in our theater in town where I was a manager and the projectionist, concurrent with us shooting the movie there, but, which he had an Oscar nomination for, but nobody seemed to remember Scott Wilson, but I knew who he was, and we became fast friends, and during the month they were in town, we talked every day at length, and so Scott and I are pals, and he hadn't yet done horror movies. I was already cast in Sea of Dust, my first film, and told him that I planned to become a star in horror films, and he gave me advice and starting as an actor in middle age, but
he had done one horror movie before that.
But horror really wasn't his forte. But now he's a bona fide horror star.
He was in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes, but now he's Herschel Green, the late Herschel Green on the Walking Dead series. He was on for 3 seasons, I believe.
And how many times has Scott Wilson eaten acid? I remember reading something about that it was quite a few.
But actually, you know, it's funny that we were talking about Walter Hill earlier. The first movie that I at least, well, that I recall seeing was a Walter Hill movie with Scott Wilson called Johnny Handsome, which had Mickey Rourke, Lance Henderson.
Right, that's a great movie. Ellen Barkin.
And Morgan Freeman, you know, I mean, before he became even really, really super famous and whatnot. I always thought that was a great film.
I enjoyed that a lot as well.
And
Hill's one of those great guys. He's one of the, I mean, he learned his trade under the tutelage of Sam Peckinpah and then took that baton.
It shows.
It certainly does. And what's very interesting is I've been watching TV recently, and it blew my mind. I really enjoyed the TV movie based on Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Jesus. And I was astounded to see that the producer and screenwriter was Wallen Green, who wrote The Wild Bunch for Sam Peckinpah.
How about that?
And, you know, I was watching the Jesus movie and thinking, this has got a snappy script. It almost flows like a Western. It's Wallen Green.
Yeah, but how could they make a good movie out of that?
John, I don't want
Bill
any of
O'Reilly.
Your friggin' atheism tonight. We're not getting into a religious argument. Stop it. You should be praying to Jesus. You make it to Chiller tomorrow.
You know, if
why
you don't pray,
pray
to Jesus,
to
pray
sun?
To
no politics or religion in the bar.
Yeah, exactly. No politics, no religion. Just Chiller.
Yeah.
Well, pray to something or somebody that you make it to Chiller.
Well, all the listeners will be doing that.
Eventually, have to do a. We haven't had a chance. Maybe next week we should do a tribute to Tom Tolles, who I've seen numerous times at the Chiller conventions. Very nice guy.
Yeah.
One of the stars of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and The Devil's Rejects, who died about a week ago.
Yeah. How old
I wonder if that John Schneider will be saying anything about James Best, who just died.
Who?
James Best.
Yes. My thought Fritz died. How many of you died again?
James Best.
James Best.
Who played Roscoe.
Roscoe on the Dukes of Hazzard also appeared on Twilight Zone a few times.
Killers.
Well, he was all over the TV in the 60s.
Very memorable Twilight Zone episode.
Yes.
Two of my favorites.
He's the one of the Civil War veteran, isn't he? Where everyone's going off to heaven.
No, that was Towns, or whatever his name was. James Best was in The Last Rites of Jeff Myrtlebank and Jess Bell with Aunt Frances. Yeah.
John Link, you had the pleasure of meeting Aunt Frances at a Chiller Theater convention.
I did, yeah.
I was so in love with her when I was a kid. It's a shame I never did.
Now, John, did she succumb to your considerable charms?
I hope so.
But on the internet,
there's an interview with her, and you can see she was smoking all the time. Cigarette cancer is what killed her.
Uh-huh.
I have to make an announcement to you, John, because you're not aware of this, but I already promised it. Todd Sturruch was complaining. Todd Sturruch, who I love, one of the creator of Grindhouse Nights at Cafe Z, he was justifiably complaining about some of the outrageous rates some of these celebrities are now demanding for their autograph. I think Neve Campbell is demanding some astronomical sum for her autograph.
You shouldn't put that on the show. You don't want to offend Cabin.
But I was going to say that I've announced that, you know, I'm following the Sid Haig rule and I'm drawing my line. I mean, my line is 25 for my autographed DVDs, and I made it clear that what happens at some conventions, I'm not charging for meet and greet. You can meet and greet me for nothing.
Just like
Williamson told me. Nobody has to pay to talk to Fred Williamson. But I put it out on the internet that you'd be with me, and you were going to make the greatest deal ever. That you would have sex. You would have sex with any one of your fans for free.
Oh. Yeah.
Wouldn't you fear that that would create a really, really long wait in line?
The event officials might wonder what was going on.
Cameron, I hope to do a tribute to James Best soon, but only if I could get Linnea to be my guest, because she did Death Mask with James Best.
Well, why don't you call her up?
I don't have a number.
I thought you two were tight.
Well, I mean, you guys did a Gucci together.
She has a blog, but
I have her number, but I'm not going to give it to you, John. I had promised. I mean, I think Cameron probably has the number.
John would be drunk dialing her every night.
Yeah.
No.
She was kind enough to trust me with her number. And Cameron, you could probably call her too, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I can call her, you can call her, we can, you know, get in touch with her, see if she'll come on. I'm sure she's got some nice stories about James.
Well, I could call her as well.
Get
over here.
Cameron, of course, we must remind our listeners that Cameron, just like he has lived out his dream when he was, you know, a mere teenager, he saw Return of the Living Dead, and like we all did, we instantly fell in love with Linnea Quigley's tribe.
Even though
she's listed like 20th in the credits, she really is the star of that movie.
Yeah.
And Cameron always wanted to make a film with her, and he did it. He hired her and directed her in Postmortem America 2021, and that's just a hell of an achievement, in my opinion.
Mm. Wonderful.
Cameron and I are on the same team in that I solicited Scott Bunt to hire Ingrid Pitt for City of Dust, and he went and did it. And I got to act with Ingrid Pitt, the British Hammer star of The Vampire Lovers and Countess Dracula, in her swan song performance, her last movie. But Cameron, you should talk a bit about Linnea Quigley and working with her and how you got her, and it's a great story.
Well, I mean, since we only got about 4 minutes left, to make a long story very short, my mother had taken me to the Zombie Jamboree show, 1993, 25th anniversary of Night of Living Dead. Met Linnea there and kind of became friends with her through her fan club and whatnot. And to be honest, it was about almost 10 years later. We're still in contact, and she was making a movie in Indiana, where I'm from, called It Came from Trafalgar. She invited me to the movie set. I kind of hung out on the set, and it was a low-budget, independent feature. So, of course, in hanging out on the set, I got recruited to be a prop master and run a second camera and do 101 other things on set. And I got, to be friends with the people, and I continued helping out with the production as it took a few more years. And, I'd always had this script that went through, many different drafts. I had wrote it when I was 16, the Postmortem America script, at least the very first draft of it, when I was 16. And here it was 20 years later, nearly 20 years later, and the script had developed. At the time, I think I had titled it, was called Dead Souls or something like that. And it went through many title changes and whatnot. But, close to 20 years later, after working on that set, I got bit by the bug. And I realized that if I ever wanted to see any of my scripts get produced, really, to realistically ever get made into films, that I was going to have to direct them myself. And thankfully, she liked the script well enough. She liked the script well enough to do the movie. And in the end, I actually have a filmmaking friend now who is – been remarking over the casting announcements I've been having for my new film, The Crocodile Chronicles. And he asked me the same question a lot of people have asked me. Like, he asked me how I got Kevin Van Hentenreck, who is from the Basket Case films, a cult series and whatnot. He's like, how do you get these people? He's like, how do you get somebody like Linnea Quigley or Kevin Van Hentenreck? And I'm like, it's very simple. One, with the invention of the internet, you can contact anybody. You can usually find anybody's contact info and get in touch with them. I'm like, write a script, send it to them. If they like it, work out a deal. You just can't be afraid to talk to these people. I think a lot of people are way too intimidated to try to talk to some of these people because I don't know why, but they feel intimidated. Maybe it's the fanboy status, but I say write a good script. If you write a good script, they will like it. They will do it. Period.
All right. Good advice.
You just can't be afraid. You can't. If you're afraid, then you'll know it'll never happen.
They're people just like us,
right? And if they are actors,
Linnea,
if you have money, if they're actors, actors want to work.
It's so sad that he died a couple of years ago because a perennial chiller theater favorite was the late actor Richard Lynch, and we had great times at Chiller. I mean, Richard Lynch drank a lot, and the Irishman that he was, but we spent a lot of time in the
bar. God bless him.
We formed a good friendship in the taverns at the Chiller conventions, and just 3 weeks before he died, we were hanging out at Chiller, and he told me, I'll act in one of your movies. He goes, if it's a decent script, he goes, one of those indie movies you're doing, he goes, send me the script. He goes, for you, I'll do it for nothing because I like you. I want to act in a movie with you. And I was like, holy shit, Richard Lynch is going to act in a movie with me for nothing. I mean, like, I could... And then he died 3 weeks later. What can I say?
I remember us talking about that because you said you got to write something for me and Richard. And then, like, a couple weeks later, he passed away. I was like, oh, it would have been good times.
All right, everybody.
Wait.
God bless.
Okay, we got
all.
About 30 seconds. There's about 30 seconds left. If there's anything anybody wants a quick plug.
Just my show, The Idle Hour, on Route 88 in Point Pleasant this coming Wednesday at 7:30. Street
remember,
pizza.